in a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants. One management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
So this is episode 2 of the Leadersmith podcast. Now, if you are listening to this and this is a student, this is completely geared towards my students. Some episodes are for students specifically. Some episodes are just to the wider public, but this is right out of class. This is, in fact, what I'm going to be talking about are first principles of power and influence. This is for my power and influence class. It's the second slide after the title in the slide deck. And so I'm just going to elaborate on this a little bit because this is really, really important. And if you're an online student rather than in class where we can go over this material, it's really important that we think through this. So it says first principles of power and influence. First, we're going to construct a list of ethical principles by which we will measure the use of power and influence. And so we want to think through a number of major ideas about, you know, how should we be dealing with this? Because I'm going to be introducing you to a lot of concepts about how to accumulate power, how to gain power, how to handle power, that in the hands of the wrong person can actually do more harm than good. They can cause you to be not the kind of leader that you want to follow, but the kind of leader that, kind of gets full of themselves and, you know, manipulates and tramples on other people. And that is not, I'm sure, what you want to be at the outset as we're going through this material. So we're going to be dealing with Pfeffer's textbook, Cialdini's book. But really, when we're dealing with power, we're dealing with just like this amoral tool that can be used for good or bad, and much of it depends on your motive. And it's like, you know, a hammer in your hand can be used to build a house, or it can be used to kill somebody. And so we want to think in those kind of ways here. Okay, so the first thing is, one, do no harm. It's like the Hippocratic Oath. If I teach you all these things about power and influence, I want you to first say, look, I'm not going to do anything that's going to hurt other people with it. And that's what we're going to be thinking about here with that. First, do no harm. Second, apply the golden rule. So when I say apply the golden rule, like do unto others as you would have them do unto you, how you treat them. If you like, and this is really more important with when we get into the influence with science and practice with Cialdini, and we talk about, you know, when you're seeing example after example of how people are manipulated by those who are trying to take advantage of it. Cialdini talks about the weapons of influence. He has, I think, seven weapons of influence, and how you apply scarcity, and how you apply, time, or how you play on their consistency. I'm not teaching you to do this so that you can do that to others. I'm teaching you to do this so you're to understand it, so you're aware when it's being done and you don't fall victim to it. But I don't want you to go out and then do that to others. So first, do no harm. Second, apply the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, if this was, there's this great line by Peter Drucker in Adventures of a Bystander, where he talks about, would I want my son to work for this guy? I mean, that's really the standard of what a good leader is. And would you want your own child to work for that person? If the answer is a absolute yes, that's probably a good leader, the kind of person that you want to follow. So first, do no harm. Two, apply the golden rule. Three, we're going to add value wherever we go. I mean, that should be the standard of for business everywhere. You're adding value, but particularly in leadership, if you're detracting value, if you're taking away, if you're making it a worse day for people, if you're making the job harder, that's bad leadership. It's just a fairly simple rule of thumb. But if you're adding value, if you're helping them grow, particularly like in the way the Greenleaf thinks about it, if you're helping people grow, that's where you should be. So do no harm, apply the golden rule, add value. And then four, we're going to embrace that which causes human flourishing. And that's just there's a technical literature about human flourishing, but yeah, that's the same thing. It's like adding value. It's we're causing people to grow, to become more, to be that which you know, God has created them to be, to unpack that, the gifts that he's given them, as opposed to tamping it down. I mean, think about the difference between North and South Korea. South Korea is flourishing because the system is allowing that. North Korea, you look at a map of North Korea at night, or of the region at night, and you'll see South Korea is lit up, and you'll see this big dark spot between South Korea and China. That's not the sea, that's North Korea. And there's a reason that North Korea is as jacked up as it is, because the system is geared to Newt Gingrich had this what was Gingrich's quote? The system that you have is perfectly geared to give you what you're getting. That's exactly right. And when you're in an organization, the leader is the one adjusting or modulating that system, and the system that you have is geared to give you what you're getting. So if your people are miserable, look to the leader, not to the people. It's not that the people are bad. It's that usually the leader is the one causing the system to be as it is. So again, that one is we embrace that which causes human flourishing. Number five, we reject lying, cheating, deceiving, all kinds of ways that we're going to manipulate others. I just finished reading Leadership and Strategy, Jocko Willink. Great book. You know, I wasn't a great fan of his first book because he tried too hard to say in the SEAL teams we did this, and so in corporate world we can do that. And it was just, it was a little bit too, he was trying too hard to fit it together. But this book actually worked a lot better. One of the things he talked about at a certain point, and I went, wow, this is really good. I'm going to have to talk about this sometime in class. One of the things that he talked about was you know, the difference between a leader and a manipulator. And they do largely the same things. I mean, they actually are doing much of the same thing, but a leader is doing it to serve his people, to help his people grow, to help his people become more. It's about others. And the manipulator, he might be doing those things, but he's doing it for himself. He's self-serving. That's the difference between leader and manipulator. He's still trying to get that result, but he's doing it for him. And when you're doing it, it just poisons everything when you're manipulating and trying to do it for you. So we reject lying, cheating, deceiving. We reject anything that binds, addicts, dehumanizes, or enslaves others. Like, there are a lot of businesses I could not go into because I know that I'm really just doing wrong to other people. That's part of the golden rule being violated as well. But if you know that you're enslaving others in any way, shape, or form, that's just bad. Don't, just stay away from that. We reject anything that's contrary to clear biblical teaching. I don't want to violate any of the other Ten Commandments. And then we reject the use of force where other means are available. And I, you know, this is kind of a little bit of a libertarian streak, maybe a little green leaf kind of Robert Greenleaf kind of is influencing that. But look, I mean, if my ideas are so good that they, if my ideas are as good as they are, I shouldn't have to force you into it, right? I mean, philosophically, if I can influence, that's far better than using power. Anytime I have to force you to do anything, I've just cold motivation. I'm telling you that I am above you, which is not the message that's going to help get the best out of you. So those kind of things are the first principles that we want to think through as we're pursuing power and influence. So let me recap it again. First, do no harm. Second, apply the golden rule. Third, we add value. Fourth, we embrace that which is causing human flourishing. Five, we reject lying, cheating, deceiving. Six, we reject anything that binds, addicts, dehumanizes, or otherwise enslaves others. And I think that's really important because in our society, we have a lot of people that are like, well, you know, if they're not going to do it to them, I'm going to do it to them. I'm going to, you know, profit. That's a terrible standard. I mean, that's like the worst way that you could possibly think. And it's the kind of way that's going to get you in ethical trouble and put you in jail. So we reject anything that binds, addicts, dehumanizes, or enslaves others. And then we reject that which is contrary to clear biblical teaching. It's not just, you know, this golden rule. Let's look at all the commandments. Because, you know, if you follow all the Ten Commandments, you're probably not going to violate other people's rights in that process. I mean, it's just that you're doing that to please God. But, in you know, your duties toward God become rights toward men. So, you know, just do that. I mean, this isn't hard. And then reject the use of force where other means are available. And that's a hard one for people because, you know, sometimes it feels good to tell people what to do. And we just get kind of a kick out of that. But you shouldn't. I mean, especially when you realize what is happening to that other person, not just the motivation, but what you're communicating about the humanity of the other person when you're riding them. Like, we have this picture of the carrot and stick with a donkey, where you're holding out a carrot that they're never going to get, and you're beating the thing with a stick. Well, what you're saying is, this person that I'm holding the carrot and the stick out to, that's an animal. They're an object. I can use or abuse them as I will. We got to get away from that kind of mentality. And I find that a lot in leadership comes down to how we think about it. Leadership is as much a mentality as it is a process or action. And so if you get your mentality right about the worth, the value of the human beings that you are responsible to steward, then a lot of other things fall into place. Okay, so that's First Principles of Power and Influence. Thank you for your time.